Matthew chapter 5, verses 23 through 26. Matthew chapter 5, verses 21 through 26. Matthew chapter 5, verse 21 through 26. Amen.
Amen.
Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment.
Amen.
But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment.
Amen.
And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire.
Amen.
Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there remembrance that thy brother having aught against thee, leave there thy gift before thy altar and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Agree with thy adversary quickly while there thou art in the way of him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast in prison. Verily I say unto thee, thou shalt by no means come out thence till thou hast paid the uttermost farthing. Amen.
Amen.
Precious Lord, we thank you for the word of God. Thank you for the voices. Thank you for all those that have participated so far in the service. But let their participation even come to a greater height right now.
Amen.
As God's word, the most important part of any worship service,
yes, Lord.
The word of God is preached. Yeah. Father, thank you for ears to hear. None of them that's here, Father God, give them an understanding. And then give them an understanding that will impact their heart so when they leave this place, they can apply what they heard to their everyday lives.
Amen.
Father, thank you in advance for your blessing on those that hear your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Jesus preaching at a higher standard. If you'd have been in Sunday school class today, I was thinking about this as the class was going over the importance of the crucifixion and the scourging and the blood and all that. And I had made a comment about the passion of the Christ being a little bit too much. Then I was reminded lovingly, kindly,
no.
Holler.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
We got mad.
And I was reminded how important it is for us to go deep into the understanding of what happened at the cross.
Amen.
The crucifixion, the blood, the scourging, what it was all about. Some of the problems I had with the Passion of Christ, I guess they're just mine.
No. Uh-huh.
But we need to go delve deep. And here we have it. I was thinking about this as we were discussing it. Here we have Christ going deep. A lot of Christians are surface Christians.
Mm-hmm.
See, there was a song back in the day that beauty's only
skin deep.
And you think about, when you think about fruits, and think about your favorite fruit, usually it's packed in a shell that you don't eat. Very few people I know that eat the orange peeling, or the cover of the orange, or those who will eat a banana peel. Because the joy and the sweetness is inside the peel.
Amen.
What the Pharisees were doing in this day, what the Pharisees were doing, they were preaching surfacey stuff. They were saying the right things, but they were, as long as you don't murder, you're okay. Mm-hmm. That wasn't what the law really meant. Jesus said, I'm coming as the lawgiver. I wrote it. I know what it says.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Doesn't mean that. He wanted to get to the roots of what causes murder.
Mm-hmm.
It must have been a problem at that time. I believe it's a problem in the day. I heard Sylvia praying. This country of ours is full of hatred.
Amen.
Full of violence and hatred. And folks hating the police, and the police hating folks, and you know, the Republicans hating the Democrats, and you know, you hear more and more folks getting killed going to football games because they got the other team's jersey on.
Mm-hmm.
Folks just hate folks. And that hate will lead to murder. And that's what Jesus was saying. That hatred can get you in trouble.
Amen.
So when we look, as we go through this text here, he said, you have heard. They were taught. They were taught. And many of us have been taught. And not all of us have been taught the right thing when it comes to Scripture. But we've been taught. And it's hard to get away from teaching. Even though it's erroneous, you talk to some folks that are caught up in many of the different cults of this world, they've been indoctrinated in it, and it's hard for them to get out, even though they know it's wrong.
Amen.
They may be even at a church, but they know, listen, this ain't the truth. But I've been here so long, this chair, this bitch smell like me. My mama and my granddaddy buried in the back. They're not leaving, even though they know this is wrong. But these three ministers up there at Christian, they wrong and they doing some crazy stuff, but I can't leave because I got too much invested in the church. Jesus came and confronted these folks.
Uh-huh.
And he confronted them for the issues of their heart. Now remember, we were going through the Sermon on the Mount. He said, this is who you are. This is who when he started the Sermon on the Mount, if you're in here and you are a Christian, this is who you are. He went down the list, and we're not going to go over all of them, but he went down the list. He said, this is who you are. If you're a child of God, you are born spirit. You are one that mourns. You mourn over your sin. You mourn over the fact that you are a sinner and Christ had to die for you. You mourn over that. And then you are a meek person. You hunger and thirst after righteousness. You're looking for in situations and opportunity to do what's right. Then you're merciful because you don't understand the mercy that God has given you. You are merciful. This is who you are. You have a pure heart. You don't have an evil heart of incontent or all that. You don't have it. You have a good heart. You're a peacemaker. You see a situation getting out of control? You don't throw gas on it. You bring peace to that situation.
Amen.
Because you do all that, you're not real popular.
Right.
You're going to get some persecution, and that's just part of the business. You understand. You know what? If I live for Christ in a fallen world, persecution is what I get.
Amen.
And you embrace the persecution. You don't go out and seek it, but you understand you're not going to be welcome everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're going to bring peace. And a lot of folks don't want peace.
Mm-hmm.
Leave me alone. I'm happy in my mess. So Jesus goes from there and says, you're the light of the world. Or the light of the world. And then he says, you're the salt of the earth. You bring a purifying effect to the situation. When you enter a room, you bring joy of the Lord to that room.
Mm-hmm.
It says here in verse 21. He said, you have heard. You were taught, thou should not kill. And that's true. You shouldn't. But there's a whole lot of murderers up in here today.
Amen.
There's a whole lot of murderers up in here. There's some serial killers up in this room today.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Amen.
You're looking at one. There's some serial killers up in here. And the word of God is going to confront us. He said, you have heard that it was said by them of old times, the prophets and the folks that taught the law.
Mm-hmm.
But here's what Jesus said. Thou shalt not kill. Whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. She'll be in danger of going to court. That's part of the policy. You kill somebody, you still before the people. And the word of God taught back then in Genesis, an eye for an eye. Whoever sheds man's blood, by man's blood shall be shed. See, we don't believe in death penalty anymore. You know, we just fill the prisons up with murders. We had prison problem back then.
Amen.
Okay? You kill somebody, you die. Now we kill folks, and we can kill folks, and they'll be watching the Super Bowl next week.
Amen.
Interesting. He says, but I say unto you. Now remember, the old teachers of those days, they would do like I do. Before I prepare, I got to read what other folks have said about the text to try to get an understanding of the text. Jesus didn't have to do that. He didn't have to do that. It's taught that when a teacher back then would come into the room, one of the Pharisees, they would go around the room and they would pick up all the scrolls of all the teachings of that day. And then they would present them. And then they would start reading off the scrolls. Jesus didn't have to do that.
Amen.
When he stepped in the room, he said, for I say unto you.
Amen. Amen.
He said, but I say unto you that whosoever, he said, listen, I'm not about the letter of the law. See, the letter of the law says you shouldn't kill. But the spirit of the law says you ought not be angry. How many in here? Got anger issues.
Amen.
When we look at the world, how dare you not say you don't. If you don't have anger issues, you're a man or woman of God, then you probably got a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Because we ought to be angry at what Satan is doing in our world. We ought to be angry when we see a loved one addicted to a drug or abusing an alcohol, or that's some kind of addiction, some kind of problem. We know the roots of it. We ought to mourn when we look at our world. Christians ought to be mourners. Jesus said this. Whosoever is angry with his brother. Whosoever is angry with his brother. Let's talk about anger for a minute. What is anger? What is the cause of anger? When we think about anger, we think about hurting somebody. We think about we putting some evil on somebody. We want somebody to pay for it. We mad enough to hurt them. Mad enough to kill them. That's what Jesus talked about. He said, if you're angry, then that anger left to itself, you will hurt somebody. And some of us understand that. Some of us been mad enough to hurt somebody.
Amen.
But why is anger so bad in God's house? Why is such a problem among God's people? Because Jesus knows the fruit of anger is murder. Anger has the potential, we've been there, many of us have been there. Anger has the potential to disrupt the house of God. It causes problems in God's house. And you get mad at somebody, you may be mad. The word of God said mad without cause. You may be mad at somebody because they look nice this Sunday. You may be mad at somebody because, you know, they got a new car. Or they got a new outfit. Or they got a new hairdo. Like, listen, who should think she is? A hairdo. I wish all the hair fall out. That, you know, we make light of that, but folks think like that. You got so much bullying going on, so much roasting going on. Folks, young people are scared to even stand before people. Because they know somebody going to roast them. You make one mistake reading and one mistake in your grammar and somebody going to call you out.
Amen.
And folks don't even want to do nothing for God.
Amen.
Because you have the fruit of evil and anger in the church. And you know what God said? In his word, we need to get away from that situation.
Amen.
We need to run from that situation. Listen, Listen how Paul addresses. And you know the Corinthian church was off the hook. And if it was bad, it was going on in the Corinthian church. Mm-hmm. And Paul says this in 1 Corinthians 5. He says this in verse 11. He says, because he had gotten letters about what was going on in his church. Paul says this. He says to folks that call themselves Christians. Paul said, but now I have written unto you not to keep company. If any man that is called a brother or sister be a fornicator or a covetous or an idolater or a railer or a drunkard or an extortioner with such and one do not eat. Why did Paul condemn him? Because he knew that type of person could destroy the church.
Amen.
That type of person, that type of leaven was to permeate in the church, that the church would be in trouble.
Amen.
And that word railer means someone who is looking for a fight.
Yeah.
Looking for a problem with anything.
Mm-hmm.
And let me tell you something, it ain't hard to find in God's house.
Yeah.
It is not hard to find problems in God's house. I have seen some today.
Amen.
Already, now I'm going to do that. And that spirit be like, man, you need to say something. You need to do something. You need to call them in your office. Whatever. You know, you have that. You'll have that every Sunday.
Amen.
If you come in here. Listen. You say, well, what's wrong being angry? Jesus got angry. Sure did. Sure did. He got angry. He got angry at sin. And you ought to be angry at sin. Remember the story? Jesus went to the temple. He went to the temple in Mark chapter 5. He went to the temple. He was going to heal somebody. The power of God was there. And he wanted to heal someone on the Sabbath. Now watch his anger, because there's a difference between Jesus' anger and our anger.
Amen.
Bible says in Mark 3, Jesus went in and entered into the synagogue, and there was a man there which had a withered hand. His hand was withered. Probably had some, or maybe he had a stroke or something. That hand was withered. It didn't work. And they watched him. They watched him. Who's watching him? The Pharisees. They watching him. See if he's going to do something good. And listen, and they watched him whether he would heal him on the Sabbath, that they might accuse him. Now you see the anger coming up. It's already there. And he said unto the man which had the withered hand, stand forth. And he said unto them, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days or to do evil? You know what he meant? Is it good for me to come here on the Sabbath with all power and to do something good? Or for me to come here with all power and to do nothing? Because I'm not coming back. I'm on my way to Calvary. So I'm not. Is this good for me to do nothing or to do evil? To save life or to kill? But they held their peace. That's what the Word of God do.
Mm-hmm.
To that evil worker in the church. When he confronted with the Word of God. They held their peace. And he looked around about on them with anger. There's our God's righteous anger. Why? Being grieved. Why was he angry? Because he was grieved for the hardness of their hearts.
Yeah.
You know, we go through that. When I see folks beefing, as the young people call it, or at odds with each other, that grieves me. You know why it grieves me? Because we say God has done so many wonderful things in our life.
Amen.
God has been good to us. He saved my soul.
Mm-hmm.
Got a good family. I got people that love me. I got a church home. I'm doing well. And then we got issues with folks. And Jesus knew that, and he was grieved. He was grieved. Bible said he was grieved for the hardest of hearts. How about that? For he said unto the man, stretch forth thy hand, and he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other. How about that? Watch what happens. Watch what this anger turns into. This is why anger is so dangerous. And the Pharisees went forth straightway, took counsel with the Herodians against him, how they might destroy. destroy him. They wanted to kill him. They wanted to destroy him. Let me share a few quotes. I thought these were interesting quotes about anger and the dangers of anger. So we don't understand anger as we should. And we get fly with folks and stick our lips out and we just can't stand. We ball our fists up and we ready to fight. Listen to what some of these writers said about anger. It says this: don't fly into a rage unless you're prepared for a rough landing. How about this one? Anger is just one letter short of danger. Anger is just one letter short of danger. So when you get angry, you're only one letter short of doing something crazy. Doing something that will cause you and your family and your loved ones and your church and your community great embarrassment. When anger was in Cain's heart, murder was not far off.
Amen.
Couple more. Charles Spurgeon wrote this one. Anger is temporary insanity. How about that? Anybody know somebody angry? Get angry real quick. Just pop off the handle. Just fly off the handle. Because they're already there. No man can think clearly when his fists are clenched. Anger. The Word of God, as we look at Mark, Matthew chapter 5, this way to go. Look where it goes next. It says, therefore, 22. He says, whosoever shall say to his brother, Rabbi, shall be in danger of the council. Now, stay with me on this. Because there's three levels of anger here. Now, Raka, I mean, he's just calling him a good for nothing. Piece of no good, good for nothing. You just got mad. You just calling him out. And really, you're trying to destroy his character. All three of these terms is about destroying a person's character. It says Raka. Raka. Worthless. Son of a motherless goat. That's what one writer said. And you call somebody that a brainless blockhead. You idiot. You moron. Some of y'all have said that stuff, and I have too. The business I'm in, you see that. And it's the Word of God convicts everybody. Convicts the pastor too now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Say you fool. Go to the next level and say, you fool. And if you call anybody a fool lately? What do you mean by that when you call somebody a fool? See, the Word of God said, a fool said, has said in his heart, there is no God. But what do you mean when you call somebody a fool? We have. You be right down the street. You see somebody turn in front of you, don't put the blinker on? Come on now. Am I the only one? Come on. You just wonder. Where does that come from? Where does that come from? It comes from your heart. It comes from your heart. And the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And then people say, well, that's the problem. That's the real core problem. Why is it so hard to tame the tongue? Why is it so hard to tame the tongue? James says in James 3, no man can do it. It's impossible. See, I know folks that have quit smoking and quit drinking, and quit cussing, and quit doing. We can do, human will can, and elevated by our relationship with God, can cause us to do some good things. We can stop doing some stuff.
Amen.
Okay? Because some people are just strong will. And the fact that they get saved, and they strong will, they can stop doing some stuff. Okay? But I don't care how strong willed you are, you're not going to tame that tongue. Okay? Why, Pastor? Because, see, lurking inside of every one of us, okay, is hatred and bitterness and pride. And when the tongue holds these things, just like a snake, they're going to come out. They're going to come out. And all of us have. All of us. I emphasize us. Okay?
Amen.
What is to be done about the tongue? That's a good question. What can I do? If no man can say, can contain the tongue, what can I do?
Yeah.
Now, we talk about miracles this morning. And the answer said, a miracle is something that can't be explained.
Uh-huh.
You just can't explain it. Let me tell you something. You will never explain how you tame your tongue. It's an absolute miracle. And you know what the miracle is? God's Spirit.
Amen.
God gives you His Spirit. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature.
Amen.
Old things have passed away. All things become new. What has happened? You have received the Spirit of God. And when you receive the Spirit of God, you receive the power necessary to tame the tongue. Now, tame don't mean control. Okay? There's a difference between taming the tongue and the tongue being just totally crucified, wiped out. It's still in your mouth. It's still flesh. And the Word of God says flesh and blood will not what?
Enter.
But you can tame it.
Mm-hmm.
You can control it. We say it. All I got to do is say Philippians 4:13. We know it. I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. And if you got a problem with your tongue, the only way you're going to deal with it is through the power of God.
Amen.
That's in you. And if you ain't got the power of God in you, okay, you're going to be held on wheels. You will. And you're going to call some folks rocking. You're going to call some folks fools. You're going to call them all kinds of names because you have no power of your tongue. And one of the signs that you don't have any power in you is because you don't have no power over your tongue. I said no power.
No power.
You just say whatever you want to say. And you don't care who you say it to. You have no respect for nobody. I heard somebody say, you know, our young people, they don't have respect for the people of God. They don't have respect for their parents. They don't have respect for the pastor. They don't have respect for the Lord. And when we live in that generation, we cuss out a preacher today. There was a time when a preacher could go down to city jail and get you out.
Yeah.
Just because, well, the pastor here. Reverend here. Everybody in the police station was just Reverend. Okay? The day's over.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Reverends ain't the reverends they used to be.
Amen.
Getting close.
Folks don't hear a word like they should hear.
Amen.
Because if folks don't want to hear it, then they don't preach it.
Amen.
Think about Mordecai. Talk about evil. Talk about the anger. I thought about Mordecai. Remember in Esther 3 and Mordecai. Mordecai and Haman. Haman was the evil one. I said Mordecai. Haman was the evil one. So full of pride. And he wanted everybody to bow down to him. And the power went to his head. So like LeBron. But the power had went to Haman's head. And it says in Esther 3 and 5, it says, and when Haman saw that Mordecai, who was a Jew, who understood, I'm not bowing down to nobody but the Lord. He saw that Mordecai bowed not, nor did he reverence him. Then was Haman, listen, full of wrath. Huh? Me. Somebody having a short fuse. He sees one person, everybody's bowing down to him, but here's one person that don't. And look what this anger took Haman. And he thought scorn to lay hands on Mordecai alone. He wanted to jump on Mordecai and just beat him up on the spot.
Yeah.
But his anger said, you got power, you can do more than that. Look what it says. For they had shown him the people of Mordecai. Wherefore Haman sought to destroy. Now remember this. Just because Mordecai didn't bow down to Haman. Now look at this, how far he took it. Somebody said, you know, he's a Jew. And you got all authority, and you know the king ain't paying attention. You running the show. Wherefore, Haman sought to destroy all the Jews. Excuse me. Haman sought to destroy all the Jews that were throughout the whole kingdom, even the people
or more than God. How about that?
Amen.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
See, we always had a saying, sin always take you further than you plan on going and keep you there longer than you plan on staying and cost you more than you have planned on spending. Somebody need to say amen. Been there. And see, a lot of us right now, we're not even thinking. I can't even hear this dude.
Mm-hmm.
He's speaking a foreign language. I might as well be speaking in a tongue up here. Because some folks are like, I ain't hearing that. And a lot of times we do that because we're trying to change path, change course of this message. We got issues in God's house. And that's normal. And God addressed it. Remember, this is Jesus' son. He addressed it. He said, you got issues in the house of God. Listen. Know we have issues. Paul had the church at Ephesus. He said, he's in the church at Ephesus. Now, anger has some running mates. Anger's got some partners. Anger don't run by itself.
Mm-hmm.
See, if you can hang out with an angry person, then you probably fit one of these categories because you're not going to hang out with an angry person. If a person is just evil all the time, speaking evil of everything, you're not going to hang out with him.
Amen.
If you're full of the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering. So anger got to have some buddies because there's a lot of anger in the world. Sylvia said, there's a lot of anger in the world.
Amen.
Okay? Look at anger's running mate. Ephesians 4. Here's Paul preaching to this church. His Paul preaching in this church right now. Anger had to be running rampant in this church. It is, you know. I know. We can just sing for another 20 minutes. I've been in church where they sing all the way to 10 to 1. Okay. Folk enjoy it, man. I'm singing today. Listen. All along they singing, but anger running rampant in the church. Okay. Anger running rampant in the church. Folks don't speak to each other. Folks on this side like the pastor. Folks on this side don't. Or vice versa. Okay? That happens more than we think. We are blessed here because, you know, this church is just close. For the most part. But look at Ephesians 4. Here's Paul plead with this church. Why? Because if folks can't see the holiness and the righteousness and the love of God in the church, where are they going to see it? Where are they going to see it? If they can't see God's people loving one another, husbands and wives loving one another in God's house, where are they going to see it? Hollywood? Where are they going to see it? If we in the church beating up our wives and cheating on our wives and doing all kind of crazy, where is a young, why would a young person want to get married?
Uh-huh.
I spent a weekend with my niece. She's from Michigan, and her and her boyfriend up there and just talking to her boyfriend and talking to her and she calls in and say, well, I'm gonna keep marrying me. How about that? She wants to come to Youngstown and get married.
Amen.
I'm like, really? I said, Cindy, did you tell her about that charge? I thought, you know, but that's the impact we ought to have on folks.
Amen.
I mean, if you take your marriage around folks that's living any kind of way, and just in love and don't want to get married, when you take your marriage around them, they ought to want to get married.
Mm-hmm.
They ought to see how Minister Matters of love is ascending. I mean, I want that kind of marriage.
Amen.
They ought to see Jake and Jackie and say, you know what, I never thought folks could be happy and married. Amen. And then they say, well, you know, they saved.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
They saved. They love the Lord. You know, they holy rollers. Roll on, holy rollers.
Amen.
Roll on. Ephesians 4:31. Look at anger. Anger got some running parties. Listen, here's Paul. Now, Paul's preaching to this church. Had to have a problem, he wouldn't have been preaching this. He just making this up. He said, we got a problem. We need to address it. He says this. He said, let all bitterness. Let all bitterness and wrath. You know what wrath is? Just displeasure. You're just not happy. You know, you're just not happy, and you're just not tenderhearted. You don't care, and you want to see folks hurting because you hurting. The old saying, misery, love company.
Mm-hmm.
See, the person wrathful, person love misery, love folks. You know, just join me in my misery, and then let's share it. Okay. I think about Psalms 1, and it said, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of the sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful." You know, when we have to be careful, because here you got a wrathful person, you need to get away from them. Okay? Minister to them, talk to them about the love of the Lord, and when they tell you, take that Jesus stuff and get out of here, I'm a man of wrath, or I'm a boy of wrath, or a woman of wrath. Let all bitterness and wrath, here's the next one, anger, and clamor. Just bawling all the time. Here's a person who just seems like they upset all the time. Nothing makes them happy. They always got a chip on their shoulder, and they're clamoring, just bawling all the time. Somebody said, "Hey, that's the person on their way to hell." And know it. Look at this last one. And evil speaking. Evil speaking. You ever talk to somebody like that? You ain't gonna get a couple words into the conversation and they talk about somebody.
Amen.
They got something to say, they got something to complain about, they got something to moan about. They're not happy.
Great.
One of the old folks can say, you know, they got a loaf of bread in one hand and a steak in the other. And upset. Because it's not A1 sauce. Evil speaking. Here's what Paul said to them. See, Paul had a problem putting somebody out of the church. See? We do. We want a church full. We don't care if it's full of devils. Long as it's full. So when I go to meet with the other ministers, they say, how was the church? Man, it was full. I had a full house.
Uh-huh.
Everybody had on red jumpsuits and horns. Everybody hated each other. It don't matter. Church was full.
Uh-huh.
This is what Paul says. He said, put away for you. Put folks away for you. Young people, it only takes 15 seconds. See, some of y'all get caught up in mess. It only takes 15 seconds. And for Jasmine and Glory, smart as y'all is, A students, it probably will take y'all 7 seconds to realize this is a fool.
Uh-huh.
This is, if I spend an hour with this person, I could be in jail.
Uh-huh.
It only takes 15 seconds. See, some of them think, oh yeah, I gotta spend hours, I gotta get to know him. Listen, no you don't. No you don't.
Amen.
It takes 15 seconds to realize I need to be moving away from this situation. Okay? Nobody hear me. Jasmine hear me.
Uh-huh.
She always wanted to just, you know, be bumping and mean mugging me. Listen. Here's the solution. Here's Paul. So people say Paul was mean. Listen to Paul in verse 32 of the same chapter.
Amen.
And be kind one to another. This is a place of kindness.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? This ought to be a place of kindness. And you can't be kind here. You definitely ain't gonna be kind nowhere else.
Amen.
I mean, if you come here, if you come to God's house and you're among God's people and you're fistballed up and you're evil speaking and you're bawling and clamor and anger and there's wrath and malice all over you, you have to be a monster outside of God. You have to be a monster in the home. You can't be loving here. Oh, man. And that,
uh-huh.
Whew. And be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Now, he's talking to people of God now. Forgiving one another. We have to be reminded. I got a good reminder this morning in Sunday school. Okay? Why? Forgiving one another. Let me say that one more time. forgiving one another. Why, Paul? Your answer's coming. Even as God, for Christ's sake, have forgiven you. The only reason you have to be unforgiving and unkind to anybody is because you are on your way to hell. That's the only reason you have to be mean to anybody. I don't care what they've done to you. People say, well, you know what they've done to me. Listen, I don't care what they've done to you. Look what you've done to Jesus.
Amen.
Look what you've done to Jesus.
Amen.
See, I got to text somebody when I leave here. I got to find somebody's phone number because I got to call somebody. Because, see, the Word of God does that. Does it mean first? My sister's been beefing with me since I did my father's funeral, and I haven't talked to her.
Uh-huh.
Now the Word of God has it as a pastor. What are you talking about?
Uh-huh.
That's what the Spirit is saying to me, Pastor. What are you talking about?
Uh-huh.
You got a sister you ain't talked to in 2 years.
Uh-huh.
You didn't call her on her birthday. Don't preach it if you can't live it. Now, that ain't God talking to me. That's the Spirit of God talking to me.
Mm-hmm.
That's how this thing works.
Uh-huh.
That's how it works.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? You ain't comfortable. Y'all know how you preaching when you like to preach. I'm not preaching when I like to preach.
Amen.
Okay? Listen, be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Even as God, for Christ's sake, have forgiven you. Y'all see John 3:16 in there? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. You know what? God is our model. I already said, you're going to be persecuted. That's part of being salt and light. That's part of being a mourner and poor in spirit, pure in heart. You're going to be persecuted. And Jesus was, and Peter, when he was trying to encourage the believers that were under attack of Nero. Let me tell you something. We ain't had a president as bad as Nero. Okay? See, we got a problem with Bush. We got a problem with Clinton. We got a problem with Obama. We ain't had no king cutting off Christians' heads.
Amen.
Okay? And what did Paul say? Pray for those in authority. Pray for them. And what did Peter say? What did Peter say in 1 Peter 2:23 about Jesus, his Savior? He watched it now. He watched Jesus. From the distance, he watched Jesus. He warmed his hands by the fire, but his eyes was on Jesus. How is Jesus going to handle this? Well, Peter had an opportunity to see it, and he wrote it. You know what he wrote in 1 Peter 2:23? He said, who when he was reviled, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously. That's how Jesus, our Savior, our model, handled persecution. Not rendering 1 Peter 3:3 evil for evil. That's a hard one, ain't it? I know that's hard for you. It's hard for me. Somebody did something to me. I want to
get away.
Shoot. You know, hey, I'm getting mine. Okay. Let the air out of your tire. Back in the day, they put sugar in your gas tank. Key your car all up. Mary back there laughing like she did that to somebody. Put that sugar, you gonna learn you ain't starting up tonight. You parked in front of the wrong house tonight. Oh, you clear over there. Clear one of them too. Our people perish for a lack of knowledge. Listen, and you know what? Think about this. Here's the archangel, Michael. Now think about this when we want to get back at somebody. Here is the archangel Michael, Jude 1:9 says, yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, does not bring against him a relevant accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke you. Think about that. See, Satan, and the reason I stay on this, see, Satan is looking for Sparky. Y'all know who Sparky is? Sparky in the church. Sparky in the church, and Sparky ready to go on. See? He ready to set the church on fire, ready to cause a problem and do crazy stuff. This is Sparky. Sparky works for the devil. Don't know it. Work for the devil. See? He always looking. Always looking for a fire to ignite him. Listen. Satan hates God. He hates God. He hates God's people. He hates God's church. And he searches the church for church members that are angry. Why? Because you know you can set one of them off. You can set one of them off. You know what? And you set one of them off and fan it. You know, you get a fireplace going and you got to put your hair on it. You can try to get one of the embers lit. And see, some of us like an amber in here. We have to be careful with that. Listen, let me keep on. I really do. Listen. Verse 23 and 4. You got to get there. Therefore, based on all that, therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, okay? To the church. You bring your gift. This may be a gift. The gift to ushering, gift to singing, gift to finance, whatever your gift is, you bring it to the altar. Okay? In there, rememberest that thy brother have an ought against thee. How about that? You come to church with your offering. And you remember, maybe the Word of God was preached. And I believe that's why the Word of God must be preached. Because Amen. The Word of God will call you to remembrance.
Amen.
It will call you to remember. It will cause you to remember, I got an issue. I got a problem in that area. That's me he's talking about.
Amen.
That's who I am. That's what gospel preaching is designed to do. Because if you can't be confronted in your situation, you can't grow. And you can't be saved. You can't be saved unless you've been confronted in your sin.
Amen.
Give me a scripture, Pastor. Give me a scripture.
Listen. Amen.
I thought the same thing. Look at Luke 19. Y'all know the story. Now remember the context. You come into the altar, you come into church, and you hear the word of God, and it's causing you to think about how you live it. It's confronted your lifestyle. It's confronted who you are as a man or a woman. It's confronting you. And it's saying, the word of God says, that is wrong what you're doing. That is wrong how you thinking about that person. That is wrong how you looking at that person. Here's that kid. Now we know the story. Jesus coming to town. And he was coming down Jericho Road, and the crowd forced little Zacchaeus to back up and run and climb into a sycamore tree. Now, verse 4 of 19, Luke says, and when Jesus came, 19:4. And when he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. Now, verse 5 says, and when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him. And said unto Zacchaeus, he said, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at your house or at thy house. You know what he's saying?
Amen.
I'm getting ready to get into your business.
Amen.
I'm getting ready to rock your world. I'm getting ready to confront you and all your mess. And you're going to have this day and this day only to deal with it.
Uh-huh.
Okay? And maybe that's happening today. Maybe you're here today. The word of God says, do your day, do your work today, because night comes and no man can work. You might not ever be confronted again. You may leave up out of here and go on your merry way and die in your sins. He said, I'm going to give you a business today, Zacchaeus. I'm going to touch your mess. I'm going to touch your sin. Why? That needs to happen. See, we need our sins touched. Not by the preacher, but by the word of God.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. And when Jesus came to the place, excuse me, I'm going back. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said, Zacchaeus, make haste, come down, for today I must abide at thy house. Today. Mm-hmm. And he made haste. First good thing Zacchaeus did, the first right thing he did, he heard Jesus call, and look what he said. He made haste. Okay? And came down and received him joyfully. Now, if you're lost, don't know the Lord, living in sin, know you're wrong, the word has not only confronted you, but it has comforted you. I have an opportunity to get out of this mess today because God is speaking to me.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
I got an opportunity to get right with God today because God is speaking to me.
Yeah.
He's speaking to me. Oh, watch this. He made haste and came down and received him joyfully because Zacchaeus was tired of abusing folks and using folks and collecting taxes and just being a bully, just being a mess. Tired of that. Tell me you ain't tired of it. Now, I know you can look at some folks, they just tired. Sin just wear them out. They tired. They need to be delivered. But the problem is, nobody want to preach to them. Nobody want to call them out. Nobody want to confront them because we scared. He might not like me. He might not like me. He might not come back to church. Listen, let me tell you something. When Jesus was preaching, and he seen the crowd around him too big, he said, he spoke to too many folks. They follow me for the wrong reason.
Uh-huh.
And he said, you going to follow me? It's going to cost you something. It's going to cost you something. And they said, what? He said, you going to follow me? You must eat my flesh and drink my blood. I must be everything to you. I must be your life support system.
Uh-huh.
And they said, whoa. That's a hard saying. That is too much to ask for. I got too much going on. I might be the class president. I might be the homecoming queen. And if they find out I'm a Christian, that's out.
Mm-hmm.
That kid's in care. Zacchaeus didn't care. Watch Zacchaeus. Verse 8. Key verse. And Zacchaeus stood. He stood. You know what that means? He was strengthened. He knew I had an opportunity to get out of this lifestyle, to get out of this mess. And he stood. The word of God said, and Zacchaeus stood.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And said unto the Lord, capital L, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, which I have stole off of, which I have abused and used and abused. Okay? Zacchaeus was no more than a modern day young brother on the block pushing weight. That's all Zacchaeus was. He was a dope dealer, really. Imagine those local dope dealers, and y'all know who they are. Imagine them being confronted by the Lord. They getting out of the game. Okay, they getting out of the game. You're not gonna have you're not gonna have an encounter with the Lord at this magnitude and stay the same.
Amen.
Listen, Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, half the goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, which I have, I restore him fourfold." Where the law didn't even require him to pay it back fourfold. But this was just his completeness of his salvation experience. That's interesting. Watch where this goes. And Jesus said unto him, watch this now. And Jesus said unto him, based on what Zacchaeus did, Jesus said this. See, some of us, we got this flim-flam salvation based on what we say or what we think we're doing. And it's all surfacey. Jesus said, your salvation, Zacchaeus, is based on what you have done after you have had an encounter with me.
Amen.
And Jesus said unto him, this day, salvation has come into this house. Huh? See, when salvation comes, other stuff got to go.
Amen.
Let me say that again.
Amen.
When salvation comes, other stuff got to leave. You can't have salvation and Satan at the same time.
Amen.
When salvation comes, other stuff got to go.
Amen.
Or I don't know what you got. Like I said, you got a bootleg salvation.
Uh-huh. Amen.
Okay? You might break up to the flea market and get you one in a Gucci bag for $20. And Jesus said unto him, this day salvation is coming to the house, Zacchaeus. Why? For as much as he also is the son of Abraham. Well, what are you remembering? Think about it. What do you remember? Let me finish this text. I just want the word of God is just causing you to remember. Think. Just a thing. Amen. Look at verse 25, 26. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, but this is interesting. I know I take a big chunk out of it. This is interesting. He said, agree with the adversary quickly. Why is that so important? That is huge. You know why? You know what Jesus is saying? You cannot have a problem with folks and worship me in spirit and truth. Okay? You cannot have a problem with folks. You can't have an unforgiving heart. You can't have a heart of evil and anger and bitterness and worship me. The truth, you just can't do it.
Amen.
That's why the Lord said, agree with thine adversary quickly while thou art in way with him. Okay? Watch where this thing goes. This is interesting. Lest at any time the adversary, the person you got a problem with, takes that case to the judge.
Mm-hmm.
You take it to the judge. See, some of us, when we was young, see, I had a good father. Now, I don't say that to boast. I thank God for him. I thank God for my father because I remember as a young man when I first got my driver's license in the late 70s, mm-hmm. I got a speeding ticket. Y'all know where I'm going with this. I wasn't speeding. I'm going to stand before the judge. And you know what my father said? You mail that in. You don't stand before no judge. You just don't want to be in that situation. Don't work out well for you. He says, unless your adversary deliver thee into the judge, and the judge shall deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. Now, what the text really saying here? You got a problem with somebody? And you die with that problem. You die with that problem because you think you're going to live forever. Now, you had an opportunity while you living to forgive that person. Okay? You had an opportunity while you living to say, I'm sorry, I apologize, it will never happen again. Give me a hug. But you waste that opportunity. And now you die, and now you're going to have to stand before the judge. The righteous judge. And he's going to call you into accountability. You know why? No one goes to heaven without forgiving sin in their life.
Amen.
If you have somebody, you got a beef with somebody, you think you're going to take that beef to God? You think you're going to walk your crusty, dusty into heaven mad at the world? It ain't happening. It ain't happening. So, today, you hear my voice. Harden out your heart. You know why? You know why none of them folks got into the promised land? Because they had hardened their hearts. And God killed them all off. They killed them all off. Save Joshua and Caleb. Got a problem with somebody today? Got anger? You just getting mad. Just listen to me. I'm madder now when I was when I came to church. Somebody call you up. What's the pastor preach about? Anger! And I'm mad. He made me mad. Because I got some folks I know I need to forgive. I know I need to text them and call them. I know I need to try to get that stuff off their Facebook page I put on it. And I really don't want to do it, but he made it so plain that I need to do it. Amen. It just made me mad thinking about it. I have to do it. Now deal with this anger. I might get angry. That's who I am. Scare people. Brr. You got to deal with your anger.
Amen.
You got to deal with it. Because it'll lead to murder. You know, if I preach this message, if I was to preach this message out of prison, full of murderers, you know, I would get a whole lot of amens. I would get a whole lot of amens if I was to preach this at Rawway. Or if I was to go down to Angola and preach this message and the honor folks in there for murdering folks, I would get a whole lot of amens because they know. They know that that murder, that premeditated murder that cost them their lives was started. The embers of anger. The embers of anger. The embers of anger. Now Jesus preached this one first. He preached it first. Not second. The next couple weeks we're going to talk about some other stuff. We're going to talk about lust. Okay? We're going to go down on the list and talk about all this stuff. We're going to talk about swearing and all the deepness of it. But Jesus started off this series with anger. Father, in the name of the Lord and Savior.
Yes, Lord.
I thank you this morning.
Yeah.
I thank you for the word of God. Convicted me. I got some work to do.
Yeah.
I have some work to do. I have some folks I need to talk to that I haven't talked to, and some folks I need to just maybe give them a text and say, hey, what's up? Me. How you doing? I was at church today and the pastor ripped me a new one. I ain't gonna say all that, that's what I'm gonna mean. I need to see how you're doing and let you know that, hey, I'm sorry, we need to work things out. I don't want to die in this mess. I don't want to die with that on my heart.
Yes,
Lord. I thank you. I thank you, Lord, for the word of God and the power of just preaching it just so plainly and use a man like me to do it. Thank you for these people. My churches don't want to hear truth like that. They don't hear. We live in a world we hear what we want to hear anymore. We don't like it to go to another church where they ain't preaching what I want to hear. And these folks keep coming out. I've been here a long time now, it seems like it. So I thank you for them. Thank you for the noisy babies today.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you for the little ones, their parents. Thank you for the married couples that are here that love their wives and give God glory in the marriage relationship. Then we pray for young people who live in virtue and honor, who give God glory, who plan on going to school tomorrow and giving God glory. I'm going to school tomorrow and I'm going to give God glory. I'm going to let everybody know I am a child of God. Then we pray for those that are lost. We pray one day they're here. Their life is changed. Pray for him.
Yeah.
We pray and preach with power and authority on high. That he would preach the spirit of the law, not the letter. We pray all these things today in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.